ladies and gentlemen, can we start? Because Bart has got to leave pretty sharpish. And I'd like him to explain his mind map before he goes. And to answer your many questions. Bart, all yours.
Unfortunately, you can't see it properly. But what I try to do over the since the last meeting is to look at the overall process where we are and what we've done until now and what we need to do, and then taking into account, say, we've issued a, I think it's called an initial paper, so that's identifying the issues. Say we hardly any response, and now we need to get from the initial paper into the final report with recommendations. So, sorry? What I'll do is I'll PDF it, because I played around with it this morning. I had a PDF. I will send it to you. But it's not so much the individual words and everything else. It's more a method of where we are. What it says here is identification of issues. Yeah. This is better, isn't it? So I go into presentation mode, but then you lose the overall track of it. Say, what I try to do is so I'll go back and then I'll go into this mode. This is identification of issues. What we need, and partly we have it already, which is called a framework for analysis. So against what elements do we want to analyze the current issues? And say Dave has done some work on it. Say we need to have an historical analysis. We need to have a functional approach. This is what we already identified, the elements, say that's operational participation and representation, and that's already in the interim report. You may want to say, okay, what is important to analyze the issues is what is really the impact of these issues for the particular SO or AC. And then you have a kind of what we discussed as a values. This is, to what extent is geographic regions a tool to reflect geographic diversity, or is it more, is it a tool to reflect geographic and cultural diversity? Because that will have an impact on the solution which you want to go. So that is a bit creating the framework. We've already done some stuff on that, but it's the next step to complete it. So the next step is, and we've touched upon it, say Dave in his paper that he sent around is more or less already a historical analysis. But we need to complete the issue analysis or the analysis of the issues, both on, say, historical, functional. We've done that in the whole overview we've presented in the first report, but it probably needs to be more in depth. And then the issues, the impact per ACSO, so per advisory committee and per supporting organization. Okay, we've identified the issues, but what is the underlying theme there? And that is something we need to do, probably. So that is, once you've done that, then you have a full scope of why is it a problem, or what is the problem, and why is it a problem? And then you can go into solution mode and say what, because then you know what you want to resolve. And in order to resolve it, you can say, that was my idea, is you can define a solution space. It is, in fact, what you're saying, because this one doesn't matter, is you have different options. And the different options, let's say, you can go to uniform, complete redesign of the whole concept of geographic regions. So that's one option. The second option might be tinker with the current model. Or maybe a third one is, okay, do it per SO, AC, and even maybe the board, and come up with a differentiated way of moving forward. But these are, and probably you can expand it, this is just a brain dump in 5 minutes. It shows you that's something we need to think about as a working group, which directions we want to take. And I think that is with a little bit of impact. So this is the question, what are the solutions? And then which solution is prepared, and why are these, or if you come up with the end solution, why is it the perfect solution or not the perfect solution? And I think a bit of solution analysis, going back to the framework, does it solve the issues? That's where you stop in the next phase, because then you want to have feedback from the community. Are we on the right track, yes or no? And then the last phase will be, okay, given the feedback we got, we're going to drill down to one particular solution, or maybe two if it's unclear, and come up with the recommendations of this working group to the board, is this is the way forward. So that in this manner, I had the meeting we had last week, I didn't know where we are, so I tried to think out a way through. Where are we in the process? What have we done until now? What needs to be done? And where does this group wants to end in the next paper, in the next stage? And that is a bit reflected in this one. And you can discuss whether all the elements are captured, but I think the main thrust of the whole process is captured in this mind map, and some of this can close. Now and then something pops up. And you can refine everything you want, but it provides you with, and us as well, maybe as supporting staff, with a kind of checklist, where we are, what needs to be done, what else can be ticked off, and what needs further discussion, further refinement. That's about it.
Thanks, Bart. If I could sort of relate these to how I see our reports, I would suggest that our initial report covered yellow and introduced green. The report we're working on now sort of starts at green, covers the light blue and purple, and this one, and touches on the one that Bart's at now. And then the final report goes in detail on the solutions and comes out with the recommendations. So that sort of relates it to the reports. I certainly found that very helpful. I hope you did. So moving on from there, one issue I would like to pick up is within the framework. We've got down at the bottom there this values issue, which I think is quite an important one. There is no doubt from a historical perspective, when regions were introduced, they were used purely for geographic diversity. It was some time later that the core value of geographic and cultural diversity was introduced. In many of the comments that we have had, and indeed are listed in our first report, there were concerns about cultural diversity as well as geographic diversity. So I think we need to decide ourselves how we feel about this. Should geographic regions be used as a tool merely to impose geographic diversity, or should it be geographic and cultural diversity? And I think it's quite a significant issue. Be grateful for people's comments on that. To give you a couple of examples, he said, so there was senior silence. If it is just geographic, then issues such as, is there a requirement for an Arab region, or is there a requirement for something that recognises the small island states, or things of that sort disappear out. If you do just gain geographic, it's not an issue. If you include cultural, then they start becoming issues that we've got to address.
Thanks for this, and I think this is going to be an incredibly useful tool, and I look forward to working with it in this context, but perhaps we should be looking at it in some of the other contexts that we're all sort of fighting our way through in some other groups. In reference to what we're trying to solve as a problem, and starting with some of the radical solutions in that darker purple box, like, there is also a start again totally option as well. Adam Peake, as he was coming to this meeting, as he's wont to do to try and stir me up, said, "Oh, don't forget to say we should just have one global region. After all, we're all netizens." I said, "Well, Adam, yes, I'm happy to bring that to the table." He said, no, don't do that, don't do that. But in fact, I am happy to bring that to the table because that is not an unreasonable thing to look at in terms of we are all a global region. But now how do we deal with the other needs? So I wouldn't ignore that as a flippant way of doing it. If we do have a blank slate and think about, well, we might be using different types of categorisation to meet different types of needs and solutions. So I think that's possibly worthwhile exploring. Not to do it now, but he was being funny and I'm deadly serious. I think we should actually be thinking about that.
I think you can do whatever solution, define the solution space, whatever you want. But what is important, and I think that is a role of this working group, is not to provide the solutions, but at least add an impact analysis. What does it really mean, and what does it mean for the community to go on, and how does it impact all the ACs and SOs? Because otherwise it looks very nice, but you could have even an impact on the type of changes needed. So the impact analysis of the solutions could also include a start of the change process you have to go through, because that might show that some of the solutions, although they seem political very viable and everything else, will take about 5 or 6 years to be implemented. And then the question is, who's going to do it, and what's the impact on all the resources? I think that is something that has been lacking, now I speak on a personal note, that's been lacking in some of the recommendations some people sent to the board, and is we propose something, but we have no clue what it really means we're proposing and what the impact on the organization is, the organization as a whole. Because I don't think this group and other groups want to spend the next 5 years discussing geographic regions. And if you go down the path of a complete redesign, a uniform redesign, you have to do it.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to endorse this mind mapping tool. I said to Dev, it would be good if I knew how to use it, because I think it certainly helps me to have a good overall idea of how the thing works. With regard to the question from the chair, I think while I'm a little uncomfortable with the term cultural, I think it's a starting point to deal with some of the issues that we are talking about. That's one. But I know of Adam's interest in saying we have a global, if we had to write it all over again, let's start with saying that we are netizens and therefore we have a global space. And then the concept of dividing into interests or constituencies, then the issue of small island states and so on becomes a constituency issue. And then you could go into it that way. So, I would endorse Cheryl's suggestion that in looking at solution issues, we actually embrace this one. I would also suggest that we do bring in the issue of cultural space, because it's a starting point for some of the other issues that are going to come out of here. That's what I think. Thanks.
Anybody else got comments on the cultural, geographic issue?
It seems like a Pandora's box or hornet's nest to me. That if you're, I don't think small island states, for instance, are really seen as a cultural issue. I think they're seen as an economic and development issue, and that means if you want diversity in economic and development factors as well, then you're looking at so many dimensions that at least I think it becomes unworkable if it's being done as a general framework and you could only make choices according to the particular needs that are that these regions are being applied to. Maybe the thing to do is to say that geographic representation tends to provide cultural diversity, but it's being picked for reasons of workability and simplicity and also objective. And the fact that the geographic regions can be objectively set, and in fact you don't need to quibble too much about interpretation. It's just a choice to set geographic regions for a number of purposes, and according to a scheme that's simply agreed on what may be arbitrary divisions in some cases. But I think things are starting to get very complicated if there are multiple dimensions, and in the interests of subsidiarity, if we're moving in that direction, then it would be much better to delegate out to the particular functions, whether it's the CCs or the RIRs or the ALAC or whatever, their own choices about this, because it just seems to be an exercise in centralising a complex system and trying to cover all bases from the central point. It starts to become a bit unreal as far as I'm concerned. So, I think, and possibly again, this is the case of the, as I said the other day, of the sticking to our brief, which is geographic regions, and saying, well, that's what we're looking at, and we can comment that the selection of geographic regions can tend to provide cultural diversity, and that would be part of the interest, but we're not going to get into an analysis of cultural regions and try to extend our brief by proposing an alternative by 2 or 3 cents worth.
Sorry, I need to go. What I'll do is I'll PDF this. I can provide it as an outline document as well, so I will send it to you, and then if it works, it works, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. So, see you later.
Thanks, Mark. Paul, I agree with much of what you say, but not all of it. I think if we restrict geographic regions as a tool for only geographic diversity, that doesn't rule out other methods of introducing cultural diversity. So to that extent, I agree with you. I'm not sure that I agree that including cultural diversity would put it outside our scope. I think that's a decision for the working group to make. Any other comments?
I don't think I have a view one way or the other. I'm just at the moment trying to grapple with the issue. I had some thinking last night, and I was thinking, and I'm just going to try to apply it to something that was said today. So we have, from a legal standpoint, technically, we're the geographic regions working group, we're not the diversity regions working group or participation, etc. But I think that one of the intentions was to also sort of allow us to be able to look at the regions from that perspective, but that's what the bylaws say, geographic, cultural, diversity. If we look at geographic regions within regions, I mean, let's take the example of something that's close to where I am from in India. You have several different languages. And within India, you have several very different cultures. You might have the same thing happening in Malaysia, for instance, where you have three different cultures within the thing. I know this complicates things, and maybe one of the reasons I also feel apprehensive is I don't know how to deal with it. How would we apply that? But I don't think that we should not ask the question because we don't know the answer to how to do it. Maybe it's just something we should explore. If it's really just unworkable, and there are no solutions to that, we should just because one of the things that the GNSO principles was, we have to make it simple also. So let's try and explore it. If it doesn't work, fine. Let's not go there. But it's worth exploring because I think from an internet user's perspective, in a geographic region, you can have different microcosms and of cultural diversity. And I think we need to start addressing those aspects. I mean, the Indians, when they get up and say, we have 22 official languages, we have some which are not official, and we have different cultures. So this is something we need to sort of at least put out there, say, look, we are sensitive to this. Eventually, if it's unworkable, we'll do something else. And, sorry, I'm taking too much time, but one last one. Maybe, I think that the idea is not bad. You may have a generalized principle of georegions, and I don't know how to sort of reconcile this, but I think that different constituencies, for instance, have very different needs of what it is that they require. So, I mean, if you look at, say, in my CSG, and you look at the IPC, if they were to look at the map of the world and say, well, where are most of the intellectual property issues, etc., they may have different colors appearing or forms. If you look at the BC, you may have different ones. Maybe ALAC has different. So that's another thing we need to ask. I mean, I don't think we should sort of stop asking those questions at this stage, at least. Thank you.
Anyone else for comments? Olga?
So sorry, I was late. I was in another meeting. I really want to support what Saeed said. I don't have a special feeling about cultures or regions now, but we should explore. That's my comment now.
I'll just comment again. As Saeed was talking, I was thinking that when you talk about Indian cultures, you might not want to also talk about Indian cultures as restricted to India, but the Indian diaspora. So that's another case of really the difficulty of trying to cover all of these bases. You might also think about youth as a region or as a culture or as another type of subdivision of the community, and it does get incredibly complicated with these overlaying dimensions of diversity that we might need to consider if we're trying to take a broad interpretation of the role of this group, which is why, again, I think I put it all in the too hard basket, but that's a bit simplistic and I don't mind discussing it.
It's my thing is that I think we recognize that there's an issue here. To me, you might as well mention it and say, here is what is coming on the horizon. This is not going to be a situation that is going to be this year or next year kind of solution. It is for us, I believe, to at least posit those as issues and see where it goes. I really believe that's where we ought to do it.
Yeah, I mean, from a practical perspective, Paul, actually, the IRRs have taken some basically cultural decisions in the split up of the Caribbean between sort of English-speaking and non-English-speaking. Recognizes that more than ICANN's regions do.
Yeah, that was in the original RIR subdivision that we lived with when there were three RIRs was very much a pragmatic decision made, I think, at the RIR staff level very early on, or at least at the management level as the RIRs really started to be established and need to delineate regions. And that was done with the luxury of very little attention by anyone else, which was the same luxury that the three RIRs enjoyed, really, when they were all established. But by the time LACNIC and AFRINIC came along, they were under a much brighter spotlight. And that process was much more, I think, carefully considered. But I think it was also considered on a very practical and pragmatic basis, in that the RIRs are service organisations in the primary language of the service provider really does matter. So I'd say that was a language distinction rather than a cultural distinction as such, but you know, you might say they mirror each other quite accurately.
Thank you. Quick point. I think you're absolutely right about the diaspora, for instance. And I think maybe this is not something we can do right now. You're absolutely right. Maybe it's too complex, but we should explore. To give you an example of where I think this may be happening with the diaspora, if you look at a social network, you have a diaspora that is on a social network, which is completely unconstrained by geographic constraints, and that's one group, if you will. And it's a culture, maybe. Yeah.
If I may. I think because there were cultural and linguistic drivers to the beginning of this process that we should decide at this meeting. Do we simply look at a hierarchical need for geographic regions within ICANN and say for representational regions, blah, blah, blah? Or do we take the more open book approach, which shows the community who have the concerns that we have looked at it, we are offering it as pieces for their opinions to be sought, and then in the analysis, which Bart very, very firmly, I think, made clear to me, we have to spend serious time on looking at the consequences of such decision nodes, should they ever be taken, we can then justify to the community why some things are simply too darn hard, and at this point in time, at least, are not worthy of going down. It's not good use of resource. It was always going to be Pandora's box. I agree.
We don't want to be accused of not looking into it.
So in terms of where that would fit into our work plan, would you see that as being something that was explained in this report so that the feedback of the report that then leads into the final report with the recommendations?
I think this is the place where we now say, look, you ask for it, be careful what you wish for.
Fine.
Think this through, and now really get back to us, because these are the things that we're going to be considering in the analysis phase. And to that end, I think we should seriously consider doing some webinars and some community calls to support this in the regions that have the interests in this area. If not, I'd prefer all the regions, but we probably need to do at least two for time zones, is what I'm saying. We can't just do one for, you know, Rob, you know how exciting and complicated that is. It may actually end up needing to be three, which is a little more than I'd like normally from a resource, but then a webinar is something that everyone can go back and... actually, can I just point out for the record, a webinar should be something that people can go to and get the information shared with later. But when I try to do that for the public participation webinar, the Adobe room tells me that the meeting's closed.
Fine, but before you can do that, I think we have got to get this interim report on the table. Yeah. Which I suppose nicely moves us round to the next issue, which is how do we move on from here? Rob and Bart and I talked about that this morning, and we think that perhaps the best next step would be for everyone to look at the, I think we called it the issues list, is it? I don't have it out here. Yeah, it's Annex B at the moment. Which is it matters to be taken into consideration. It was in our first report, and it's an annex to our present draft. And we think it would be very helpful if each of you could go through all the issues that are there and give us your personal comments on each of those. So a lot of them, for example, come from GNSO principles, which is fine, but you know, number four is makeup of ICANN's geographic regions should be considered in the wider context of the geographic region requirements imposed on all ICANN bodies. Do you agree with that comment? Do you not agree with that comment? And I am asking you to do it as individuals, so as a member of the working group. It's not a consultation process at this stage. So looking for feedback on that all the way through, to go to Rob within a relatively short timescale, but I'm coming back to you and saying, what sort of timescale can you cope with? Yes, Olga.
Yes, about genus or principles, please consider that this comments or this outcome is the process of a working of a drafting team we held in the GNSO that took us quite a long time to reach agreement that I chaired that drafting team. So perhaps us, Said or myself or you, find comments to those pieces of text, and that's okay. So it's an outcome from the GNSO as a whole, but not necessarily an individual opinion of us as members of the council.
Oh, that's fine. In fact, perhaps one of the things that you could do for those items that are GNSO is explain a little bit what the reasoning was for coming up with those, each of those. Rather than just being bold statements. So I'm not suggesting you do it now. I mean, as part of the process, that would probably help.
What I try, I'm not, I don't know if I was clear. What I try to say is that we reached some agreement in the drafting team and in the GNSO of perhaps more general concepts. Some of us in the working team were for some other more specific issues regarding geo-regions and cultural issues, but as a whole in the GNSO, we didn't get agreement in the drafting team. That this is what I meant. So perhaps we could add some personal comments to this text. That's what I try to say.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. That's fine.
It's just I have some questions about a couple of them, and I was just wondering, because there were comments and there were remarks, if I could ask Rob right now, or yes?
Yeah, by all means.
Okay, all right. Just two, there's item number 8 and item number 21. In item number 8, B, the remark B, does the present method of grouping dependent territories with their mother country. So I'm just wondering what the context of that is. That's my first question.
I can explain that. The comment came short from me.
And the other one is GoDaddy's response to the public, where they said, ideally, the RIR region and the geographical region assignment should be aligned. I don't know what that means. That's the only reason I'm asking. What's that all about? These are the only two questions I have.
Well, the RIR regions are, as I said before, really well established and very stable. They have been for quite some time. They've also been adopted by some other organisations in a more or less loose sort of way. Some of the AP, I don't know if you know the term of the AP star organisations. There's a bunch of APTLD, APRICOT, APIA, these various things that, for want of any alternative, have just said they'll copy the APNIC service region as their service region. But it's as I said, it was pretty non-standard. It was pretty arbitrary the way it was set up. So our definition of Asia Pacific goes as far as Afghanistan. Doesn't include Central Asia, the Kazakhstans and so on. It includes Mongolia, it includes Pacific. We include South Asia, except that Iran is actually a South Asian country, and it's not in our service region. So, you know, I don't think there's anything really, there's certainly nothing perfect about our service regions, and I don't know why GoDaddy would think that they were worth following, except because they are pretty well established. They're actually not going to change, or the RIRs, as I've said before, are really reluctant to make any change, because basically we've got, in every country, we've got all the ISPs in that country have established service relationships with their particular RIR, and for us to suddenly say to Iran, for instance, even though it may have a small handful of ISPs, to suddenly say, oh, sorry, you now got to transfer your entire service relationship, your contracts and everything from one to the other, for some arbitrary reason, it's pretty difficult. It was hard enough in the case of the establishment of LACNIC and AFRINIC. They were major exercises in terms of transfer of records and contracts and worrying about fee payments and all sorts of stuff. So again, we're not about to change, and you'd have an uproar if anyone said the RIRs should realign to something else. But then again, I don't think anyone would say that our definitions should be imposed on anyone or necessarily adopted by anyone.
Paul, I think it's good. Eddie's point was the other way around.
Well, exactly. Yes,
there are many advantages in some people's eyes in the IRRs or IRs, get there, regions. Looking at it from a sort of a CCTLD point of view, particularly the small CCTLDs have very few people in the management area. They've got to deal with the RIRs, they have to deal with ICANN, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As things set up at the moment, if I can give Cayman as an example, because of the rule in 8B, Cayman is part of the European region for ICANN. We fall under ARIN for IP addresses, and we wanted to go to ALAC, we'd probably be in LAC. Now, the fact that they are all different means that the meetings are held in totally different places at totally different times in different languages. So to align them all in one area would have many logistical and organizational advantages for many of the CCTLDs. So I think that's one reason that coming from that. I see your poise, Sean.
I was poised, yes. It gets very obvious when I'm not on the phone, isn't it? So it's sort of, I'm here. I'm just a random thought. They happen occasionally. I'm wondering if we should also look then, because there are real benefits when we're doing that analysis of what the options are, to having unification or harmonisation of resource use for meetings, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's where this mind mapping that we were looking at earlier is going to be a really, really useful tool. But we might want to also propose a hypothetical situation or something for people to consider, and that is that we do a clear dissection into two purposes for regions, one being structural and one being functional. And the structural can be the representation model. For example, I live in fear that you're going to carve off two, three or more different regions and look what happens to my ALAC. Because I, by definition, have three people from every one of those regions. You have caused me a huge, huge nightmare budget, all sorts of things. Plus, there is the investment that our existing regional at large organisations have made into building and developing ALSs in the current structure. So they're sort of structural reasons for regions. But there's all those very good functional reasons that perhaps looking at a bifurcated model might also be interesting.
I mean, there are already quite significant differences the way regions, even the existing regions, are interpreted. Because sometimes it applies to the citizenship of the individual. Sometimes it applies to which region the CCTLD is in, irrespective of the nationality of who happens to be running it, etc., etc. So we already have quite different interpretations of it. I don't think I cleared up, really clarified the comment in item 8. It stems back to a problem that was encountered back in 2000. With allocating to regions areas that are not countries, i.e. really the dependent territories of various European and United States as well. And it was decided for reasons unknown, but I think perhaps because of lobbying by the French, that those dependent territories would be allocated to the region of their mother country. And it was done, you will see my analysis in the historical comment. The way it was put was, didn't even make sense, because they talked about citizenship and then used that citizenship, but without saying of whom, to allocate a territory. It made sense for the French, because it so happens that the French islands in the Caribbean are actually considered legally to be part of France. They are French departements. But they applied that then to the Dutch and the British. Well, the British dependent territories, the citizens of Cayman are not British citizens. I believe the same is true of the Dutch. If you go to some of the American islands, American Samoa are not US citizens, but some of the other American dependencies are. And it was just a blanket, oh, we're going to put them all with their home country. It made absolutely no sense, was legally incorrect, and in addition, it actually reduces geographic diversity, because as a result of that, someone from Cayman could be put on the board of ICANN as a European representative. Somebody from Jamaica could be voted on the board as coming from Latin American and Caribbean. And somebody from, let's say, Puerto Rico could go on for American. And yet they're all within a few miles of each other, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So in my view, at least that bit has got to go. Yeah, but there is an interesting follow-on corollary to that, of course, is if Mozambique, as an example, or the French islands, are part of France, why do we have separate CCTLDs? But that's a whole other issue.
I was going to have trouble with a guy.
Okay, getting back to workload then. Could I have people's thoughts on how long they need to give us feedback on the Annex B? I think of this only as the first iteration, folks, so I don't want to take too long on it. What I'm hoping you will do is actually take the table and within the remarks column add your own remarks and comments.
Is it possible, sorry, Cheryl here, is it possible for us to have this as a collaborative workspace so that we can accumulate our remarks as we go? Various things, you know, ranging from proprietal to non-proprietal software exists. The wikis are there. The wikis are probably less attractive only in as much as, you know, my colour won't come out as purple when I make my comments, and I like that to be the case. But it does mean that Cheryl is saying that versus anyone else is saying that. My
hesitation is that there is then a great temptation to, I agree with Cheryl, I agree with Cheryl, I agree with Cheryl, and we get very little original thought.
Quite obviously, there would be nothing wrong with that line. And I'm surprised we even thought that there would be a problem as that as a policy development process, but no, seriously. In the use of some of the collaboration tools, we can literally all be putting up our comments at the same time, and I really doubt that this group around this table are likely to just say, me too. If they do, I think the people who put them here need to know and take us back off the table.
I think having that space that Cheryl is pointing is a very good tool. And we can add our names or initials or use colors for distinguishing the income. In some working drafting teams or working teams, sometimes we use too much the list, which is okay, but sometimes it becomes kind of a nightmare of comments going go back and forth, and it's very difficult to track, especially if you're sharing or putting all together. It's only from my experience, but it's a comment.
Well, I thought it, Rob, can we organize this?
Yes, I will utilize the talents of my colleagues to make that happen. My sense is there are a number of different modalities that we can use. I'm familiar generally with Google Docs. I don't know if that ends up being the best common denominator for the group. I know you were talking about some other Google product at one point, Cheryl, through the Wave. Or
I think the perfect thing for this meeting to do is establish if there's anyone around the table that has a particular aversion to anything that you have ready access to, or if they have a suggestion for something mm-hmm. we could use. And then put it to the list to make sure that we're not suggesting a product or tool which is inappropriate or philosophically unpalatable to one of the members.
What about social text? Because many of us already have a username and a password to access it. Perhaps you can create a space there for georegions. Julie, she's very good at that, and I can also help you. We put the document there, and if we just, perhaps we don't want to go editing the document, but we can add our comments in the lower part with our names. And there you have who contributed, because you log in with your name and your password. And then you have the date and the time, so you have a kind of a thread of comments in the lower part, or if we have the privileges, we can go and edit the document, which I think it's more complicated perhaps for you that will be preparing a new draft version. But social text, it's already there. And I think we already, I use it for GNSO and for the drafting teams.
We do have the GeoRegions Working Group does have the wiki. This document is already on there, so it may be, you know, just a matter of formatting to highlight it or bring it to the top, so that's just easier for all of you. I think the key there is, and I like that concept of the comments, because while all the comments will be together, there will have to be some personal management you all take to that. It won't be as easy as just comment side by side with remarks. You're going to have to reference in your comments 1, 2, 15, 18, but we can certainly make that effort, and then of that, and I'll just work very hard to try to keep it in an organized fashion. The greatest thing would be it would be difficult because you're all just throwing so many comments into it at once that it would be a challenge, but my sense is with the time differences that that's unlikely to be an issue. But yeah, I'll try to pull out, I've already been trying to just cut and paste that one table, create that as a separate document, mm-hmm. and then upload that onto the wiki. I know that there's a challenge, and I'm not even going to attempt to do the various columnizations. I'll get a colleague to help me with that, to have that posted visually. Mm. But I think that direct comment, if you guys are all in agreement, that'll be the first option. And then if we have difficulty, we'll create some alternate.
If I may, clearly we're going to have an issue only if and I'm going to be least affected to this because of my particular time zone, but you do recognise that in social text, whenever two people are editing at the one time, only one of you will get in and it will blat out your other person. It is, we had that happen in the ALAC a lot. So I think there needs to be, we actually have, if even Heidi and I are editing any of our documents, I give someone the pen at any particular time because we've all lost, in some cases, considerable hours worth of work when it goes down. I'm wondering, though, Rob, if because social text upgraded itself a couple of times recently, and there might be tools that I've never used and are unfamiliar with, maybe a quick pass by the experts that I can have in it and just see, here is what this group wants to do. Is there a good way of doing it? But if we make sure we've all got the little CLO, or the, well, I mean, you can all say CLO, but our own initials next to the comments, that's probably the most important thing.
Well, and my understanding is with the comments, you can add comments and the system incorporates those. The challenge, as you indicate, would be if I actually created the document and then you were all populating the same thing, you know?
Double check with Heidi, because we've now learned to make sure if Danny Younger is asleep, we can actually afford to change the wiki, because he puts things in comments while we are doing things. Well, so he sees as we're editing, and we have had conflicts. So as I say, just ask the people who actually know, which is not me. I'm very, very limited in my use of it. But yeah, let's do it.
Great, we'll do.
everybody has still avoided my question of timescale. I'm thinking in terms of about 2 weeks. And perhaps, Dave, what I'll do is I'll conduct the inquiry that I've discussed with Cheryl, and Monday or Tuesday say, it's open, begin. You know, the land rush is on for making the comments, and then we'll just tag 2 weeks from the date of that announcement to the team list.
Yeah.
And the follow-on from then will be that Rob has said he will help analyze those comments. I will also be trying to pull out the core elements or the analysis of the historical stuff, which I will then circulate for comments, and we'll work in that way. As we get your responses, we'll give you more work to do.
Yeah, the approach there would be, I think the analogy I used is it's just an internal working group public comment forum where at the end of the 2 weeks I'll summarize and try to consolidate some of the comments, because there may be those I agree, but if everyone's doing it independently, there will be different perspectives, yes.
And then further down the road, once we have got firmer ideas, we'll be asking you to look at the potential impact of those ideas on your own organization. So that's beginning to look at the impact analysis as well. Okay, people. I'm happy to put the floor open and Rob's leapt onto it. Go on, Rob.
The other area is the survey document. For those of you that attended the meeting on Tuesday, I simply have not had time to incorporate the various edits that were discussed at that meeting. And so I invite folks who have not yet had an opportunity to just provide some thoughts or edits. Please feel free to do so. I'll be working on those over this upcoming weekend. The one issue, of course, there is, as I understood the discussion on Tuesday, is that the edits will then be recirculated to the team to have a sense as to, again, the details of the questions and having those formats and having everybody comfortable that we're asking the right things. I have an appointment on Tuesday with Ralph of Big Pulse, who's the expert on helping us develop the actual presentation. And I'll be talking with him, and I'll share that feedback with all of you in terms of some of the options for the multilingual capabilities, for options with respect to potentially how to parse the data based on the answers to section one. I understand that it can be very robust that way.
I don't have the present draft to hand. Do we have a question that says anything like, should we just be looking at geography, or should we be looking at cultural as well?
And I will incorporate that thought.
Is that perhaps a reasonable question to ask?
It does not, and I'll add that concept in the next draft round.
Yeah. The floor is open. In that case,
just one point. I have to say that I put out the fact that we're going to do a survey to my constituency. Unfortunately, nobody seemed to respond to it at the moment. I think they've got, you know, the R-R separation and UTD things on their minds, but I'm going to keep pushing it. And I don't know if other people are having the same problem.
The key there, I think, will be the delivery mechanisms that Cheryl and I have been discussing offline. If we can, through Big Pulse, and then, you know, I'll be discussing with them sort of what other add-ons or what delivery mechanisms they have. It may be a case where folks can just do it versus, you know, through some Twitter feed or something. We'll try to find some inventive ways to make it as easy as possible, and then just sort of build on that. I think various working group members have different perspectives in terms of how much feedback we'll get, but I think any feedback is valuable, and the more we can talk it up and keep it out there, the more value it may have.
I will circulate in different networks I belong in Latin America. I promise to do that with the regional RAR. They have a very important networking and a web page. They will be willing to publish it and circulate in it, and some other regional networks that I belong to. So I'll do that.
Thanks, Olga.
Just a final thought, and I have no idea why I didn't bring it forward earlier. As chair, perhaps we could ask you to approach the ACSO chairs list and ask them to make a point of bringing it with their endorsement to the community. So, quick email. I think, you know, that's one of the reasons we're all supposed to be getting together. It's why we have a list. You won't post directly, but I think that'd be just gives it a little bit more getting on the agenda opportunity.
Yeah, thanks. Right, well, there being no further business, the meeting is adjourned, and I look forward to your comments in 2 weeks. Thank you.